welcome everybody. Glad you're here today and excited to be here and share with you this day. And it's an awesome day today. God is so good. His favor is on us. He's a loving God. He's so for us. And a little bit about myself and my beautiful wife, Jenny. We've been married for 28 years, which we're proud of that. For some of you, you've probably been married like 50 years. She's been married the longest here. How long do we have here?
64
years. Praise God. That's so awesome. You get a prize. If I have a prize, I'll give you one. Here's a water bottle. It's a prize. But that is awesome. And we even have one young man. He's not married yet. Are you married yet? Not yet. Just checking. We have singles in the midst of us here. And it's exciting. So 28 years, and this life has been an adventure for us. We met on the mission field in Hong Kong. Jenny came from Australia. She was with YWAM's mission for 11 years in Australia. Then she came to Hong Kong on a team and ministered from Hong Kong around the nations. I came from California, where I was raised, to Hong Kong. My first mission trip, I got saved when I was 17 years old. On my 18th birthday, my stepfather kicked me out of the house for being too religious. And even though I came from a sordid background, I won't go into all those details now. Maybe in the future you'll hear that. But I knew that God had a plan for my life. In fact, I even got saved from the four spiritual laws. Who remembers that tract? From Campus Crusade, started this law of God, he has a plan for life. Separate from God, and all that stuff. I can't think what they are right in a second. But I knew that God had a plan for my life, and I knew he had a calling on my life. In fact, one Easter at my church service where I got saved, it was the Easter service, and they had a call to the front of the altar for everybody who feels led by the Lord to be in full-time ministry. And man, my heart was pounding, and I thought, wow, God is speaking to me. He wants to use me. So I went forward, me and about 40 other guys. Most of them are still pastors this day, keeping contact with some of them. And I was thinking I was going to be a pastor. That's all I knew. I went to Bible school the following September and a Christian Missionary Alliance College. It was actually in San Francisco at the time. And they've since moved to Redding, California, Simpson College, if you've heard of it. And I had all my ideas laid out what I was going to do. I'm going to go do a youth ministry, be a youth pastor. Maybe when I'm older and a grown-up, I can be a real pastor, you know. And that's what I was thinking, I guess, as a young 17, 18-year-old. But God. I actually went to Christian music was just becoming popular in the 80s, really, at least for my generation. And changing from worship to more praise songs, those kind of things. And amazing things happened in that time. And there was a lot of Christian worship was really released in that time. And how many of you remember or heard of Keith Green? He sang some songs. He's a kind of wild guy with wild hair, like saying some stuff that was pretty outgoing out there, really challenged people, but really loved God, really had a passionate fire for God. He was killed in a plane crash, but him and his son were killed. So they were these memorial concerts that went around the United States, and he had a vision to see 20,000 young people released into the missions right before he passed away. That's when the Lord was leading him, so he was challenging people. Go on a mission field. Go do short-term missions. And so I went to this Keith Green Memorial Concert in Sacramento, California, and heard about missions, really, for the first time in my life. I was saved in a Baptist church, and the only idea of missions that I had a concept of was to go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which I did not want to go to South Dakota. It's cold and nasty out there. And go to Bible school for 4 years, and then go to seminary for another 4 or 8 years, and then go to Africa and work on a medical field for the rest of my life. And that was my idea of missions. So, I don't like blood and guts. I want people to be medical. I don't want to go. I was like, God, I want to go do things now. I don't want to go and wait another 8 years to get this degree or whatever. So I was just thinking that's something far away I can't understand or want to do. And so I heard about short-term missions. I heard about YWAM, Youth of the Mission, that you don't need training. You can go for a six-month period and get experience. And I really felt impressed by the Lord that he said to me, Why don't you try this while you're young and see if you like it? Because I was kind of toying with the idea, yeah, maybe when I retire from youth ministry, I'll go be a missionary somewhere, you know? That'll be kind of cool and adventurous. And I thought, that sounds fun. I was looking for a big adventure. I was looking for something exciting to do for the kingdom. I loved God so much. I'm so grateful that he died on the cross for me. Set me free from all the immorality I was involved in. Everything. Really gave me a hope in the future, and I knew that he was for me. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go to Hong Kong. They invited me to go to the Los Angeles Games in 1984, and I thought, that's too close to home. If I don't like this, I'm in Sacramento. I'm just going to run away and go back to what I'm comfortable with. So I have this weird dichotomy in my life. Even though I'm an S personality, I like things nice and stable, the same, consistent. I like adventure. I like adventure in God. So I went to Hong Kong, and at first I was shocked. It was my first time being around people from another denomination. It was my first time being around people from another country. And you have to remember, I was from California. I was 10. This is the 80s. I was a Baptist yuppie. I had an Argyle vest that was pink, checks, and matching socks, and the right pants, and the right hair, and everything. And I worked hard to keep my tan and to be perfect looking in my idea of what perfect was. And I get to Hong Kong, and my first roommate is this, of 12 roommates, this guy called Hans Zylstra from Holland, who was anemically white, and wore shorts that didn't match his shirt, and wore sandals with socks. I knew straight away that this is not how you dress, because I was an expert in my own opinion of how you should dress. And I thought, oh my gosh, what am I doing here with all these weirdos? He became a very good friend of mine over the years, and I've seen him many times, several times in my life. And I say all that because it was just so foreign to me. But I got a heart for the nations in that time in Hong Kong. I've traveled to many different countries. My wife and I have ministered in 55 countries. I ended up staying 9 years in Hong Kong. I had to go for 6 months. Another story another time. Lived in India for 5 years. We lived in Australia for 8 years. We lived in Afghanistan for 2 years. And we were in Kashmir, India for a period of time, too. So we have a heart for the unreached and the lost, the totally lost, the totally places where people don't want to go. Strangely enough, it's always been in, often been in the mountains and places that are hard to get to. When you look on a map, it's the darkest parts of the country because there's no lights, there's no electricity, there's no, these villages are really out there sometimes. So anyways, I say all that for my history because it's been part of my life for many, many years. And I have such a passion to see people come to know Jesus. And it's kind of ironic. I want to get a t-shirt one day made that, because, you know, I've been to like all these places that we consider exotic or exciting. And here I now live in Tiswa, Illinois. So like, how on earth did you get to Tiswa? You know, I mean, that's another story for another time. So you have to invite me back to share sometime. But I want a t-shirt that says, you know, Paris, London, New York, Tiswa.
Pure,
there we go. Places I've never heard of before. And yet, here I am. So, another irony of the whole thing is my dad is from Illinois. He's passed away now to the Lord. But here I am back in a home country. Okay, so that might be the So I want to talk a little bit today about revival or reformation. Because I've seen both in my own lifetime. And all through church history, you can study revivals, you can study reformation, how things change, and you can see how God has been moving on planet Earth for many, many years. In your lifetime and in mine, and in the one after us is coming, God will move because he's so active and moving and loving his people who are lost. The kingdom of God is always moving forward. It always is. It's not stagnant. It's not dead or boring. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus. You know, the one thing that I learned, I first went to Asia and I thought, wow, these people have had their religion, Buddhism or whatever, for thousands of years. They don't want to hear what I have to say. They got their way of doing it, you know. That was my thinking. But I learned very quickly, hey, every person's the same. They've fallen short of the glory of God. They have sin that separates them from knowing the real Creator, their Daddy in heaven. And they're all trying to find him. And some people do it through religion. Some people do it through materialism or money or drugs or whatever, all the things you seek for false comfort. And I found out that people are hungry to know the truth. They've been searching for the truth. You want to receive Jesus? Yes, I've never heard of him before. I remember one time in China talking about Jesus and someone said, is he an American? No, he's the Son of God. He died in your place to take away your sin, all the things you've ever done wrong. Both Jenny and I have seen thousands of people come to the Lord. Thousands. That's exciting to see a life change. So the kingdom of God is always moving forward. Matthew 16:18. We normally flip around in our Bibles and lift these up, or I just kind of read them out loud for you. I'll just read it for you. It says, I will build my church, and the forces of Hades will not overcome it. I love that scripture because it's so going forward, active. Some people think that, also some translations say that, you know, the gates of hell will not prevail. And we think of gates as these big steel, iron-clad doors that don't budge. And we have these big gates and big doors. And some people think that, like, the church is, like, hiding behind the door, you know, protecting God from all the evil of this world. You know, protect me from all the sin that's out there or all the worldliness. The church I got saved in, you couldn't play cards, you couldn't go to movies, you couldn't dance. That was sin. Be not in this world, I was always told. And we hide behind these big doors. That's a wrong concept because it's not an actual gate that the church is hiding before. Because he says advance. Doesn't God say advance? He's saying, so if you're in a position where you're attacking the enemy, you're not hiding and retreating from him, you know. So there's a Greek word for the word gate, which is pulai. It actually means authority or power. So Christ has given us, through his work on the cross, authority and power over the enemy's schemes, over the world, over all the things that we are opposed to the ways of God, those big gates in our life or in our society. So God wants us to take an active position to pursue those things, pursue his kingdom, to press forward against that gate. I've seen lots of cowboy movies in my day where they come in the fort, they come and smoke, and they all burst right into the gate, and they close it, and the Indians are attacking with arrows and things, and they're up on the fence shooting and stuff. And that's not what our Christian life should be like. Or you also get a picture of the wagon train coming. They all get in a circle and protect the women and children in the middle and shoot on the outside when the enemy came. Again, that's not the example of who we are as Christians or believers. So, being a powerful and almighty church, which we are, anyone want to take a guess right now, 21st century, which country has the fastest growing church right now? World, like your country. Where do you think?
It's not the United States.
Not the United States. True. Yeah? Very close example. I live there. Close? I'll tell you who it is. It's actually the nation of Iran. Who would have thought that a Muslim country would have a growing, thriving church? Because for thousands of years, they've been trying to find God. Islam does not offer a personal relationship. We can know our father, a daddy, a God who loves us. They don't know a God of love. They know a God of war. They have to serve him. And maybe if they do everything right, they'll go to paradise. But even in paradise, it's not to go be with God. Isn't that good news? Like when we die and we pass on next life, we're even going to be with God and our friends and our family and the church of God and other believers and there's relationship and fellowship and worshiping the Almighty God and there's relationship. You know, here on earth, it's just we are looking like in a dim mirror, kind of a dirty old mirror. I live in an old house built in 1857. Old, cold, drafty house. A couple old mirrors, kind of foggy. That's how we look at the reflection. It's not quite how you really look. Maybe I'm a little fatter in my mirror, I think. And but when we look at God now, we see him as a dim reflection. But when we're there, we'll be like him, and we'll see him crystal clear who he really is, who we really are. And it's going to be an exciting time when we go to be with him. But so the fastest growing church right now in Iran, and there isn't a building in Iran that says First Congregational Church of Tehran. Don't get blown up. Don't get attacked. Don't get persecuted. So the church is not a physical building. The church is us, believers. And there's a hunger right now because they're so dissatisfied with their government and their religion of not knowing the truth, not knowing God. So I want to tell a story about a man who really influenced the world in the Muslim world. And this is how I was studying him. I've heard of him because I lived in Afghanistan for 2 years. And let me just get you in a mood here. So I didn't want to bring the whole outfit because I thought the nation of the county bureau is not ready to have a little Afghani running around scaring everybody. The terrorists are coming. So I just have a, what they call a pancake hat and a scarf.
Talking about the Christian church of Iran, actually, the persecuted Christian church,
yes.
Not Islam, okay? So clarify that.
Okay. Thank you. My buffer. So I want to talk about a man who really influenced the nation of Afghanistan. First, his name is J. Christie Wilson, Jr. Born in 1921, died in 1999, so not too long ago at all. That's all during our lifetime. He was born in Iran to Christian missionaries, so he was raised there. And you have to remember, before the Shah was killed and left the country, and that whole time, there was a greater ability for people to travel and go be missionaries. So he was born and raised in that place. He attended Princeton University in New Jersey, and then on to Oxford in England. And one interesting fact is he gave Bibles to every freshman at Princeton University. Imagine that today in Princeton University, which is so liberal and so far on that side of things, that they wouldn't even believe the Bible was real anymore. But in that day, this guy was brave enough and loving God enough to go hand out Bibles to every freshman at the university. He is part of the student volunteer movement. If you've heard of that, that was a mighty move of young people in the 20s and starting revival in the early parts of America. He was a forerunner to Urbana Missions Conference. If you've heard of Ralph Winter, who started U.S. Center for World Missions in Pasadena, California, and Urbana was a huge missions conference every 4 years. We've been to the one a couple of years ago. There's thousands of college-age students that come to hear about missions and how they can go and be short-term missions. And thousands who come and serve full-time as well. But he was a forerunner of all of this. And he also, if you remember Jim Elliott, he was a martyr who went to South America and was killed by the Indian tribe that he was witnessing to. Killed. Eventually his family, his wife went back to the same people and led a whole bunch of Jesus, and now they're a thriving community of Christians down there. If you ever get to see the movie or read the book, Beyond the Gates of Splendor, and those movies tell a story, it's a glorious story of how God moved among those Indians. But so this guy, Christie, influenced so many people to be a missionary, to change the world so radically for him. He felt called to go to Afghanistan, which there's no church in Afghanistan at the time. There's no building. There's no believers in Afghanistan. Now, there are still some countries. There are very few, one or two maybe, believers. And just the divine work of God in some places. So he goes to Afghanistan. He's married. Goes to Afghanistan. He's teaching English. Teaching English to actually the king's family. There was a king in Iran, in Afghanistan. And he got permission to build a church to minister to foreigners, for expatriates that lived there and worked there and did stuff in the country. So he had a church that was growing and thriving, and he also reached out to many, many Afghanis, and God was starting to move amongst the people there. So there was a time coming when they all heard, the leaders, political leaders, that, hey, something's going on here, we need to stop this. So there was a day when the military came and there was a wall around the church building, came to tear it down. They're going to tear down the church. We don't want this in our country. And he actually prophesied and said, if you attack this building belongs to God, then your leadership will not remain the same. You will be removed. That was a prophecy. He just sprang up God's passion for that place. Well, the secret police came. The military came, knocked down the church building. There was no longer a physical building. The church is not a building. And it's still not there today, a building in Afghanistan that we ever saw. And there's an interesting place to think about. But interesting thing happened. The king of Iran, let me get his name here, king of Afghanistan, King Muhammad Zahir Shah, was overthrown by a coup. He had been king for 45 years, and his family had been on the throne for 227 years. So for that period of time, there was a king in Afghanistan, a leader that God raised up. God raises up our leaders, whether we like him or not. This king was dethroned, killed in a coup, and his family line cut off. So, the word of God was true. That was a true word of the Lord. Don't attack this church. It belongs to God. And that God moved against that nation. Well, the secret police heard that there was an underground church that still existed. And they're like, we got to find this place. So they proceeded over the next many years to dig in the ground, 12 feet down, all over Kabul, where this church was, looking for this underground church. So they are digging, looking for it. There must be an underground church here somewhere we keep hearing about. Not realizing that the church is the body of Christ and its people, and not just a physical building. So, if worse comes to worse in this own country, if there's a day of persecution where the church is getting blocked off or burned down or whatever, hope it never happens in Jesus' name. But if it does, we're the church. We can still meet together and encourage one another and love one another and be an active living kingdom of God people. So the underground church is not a building. They never found it, by the way. And I love Afghanistan. It's such a crazy place. So extreme in your face. Asia is so extreme in your face. The smells are like pungent in your face all the time. Any Star Trek fans here, the Star Trek, the TV series and the movies. Afghanis are kind of like Klingons. They're kind of warlike and real rough people. Tribal people. So, passionate people. They make good believers because they're passionate for Jesus and they get switched over to Jesus. And we were 2 years in Afghanistan, like I said, and I won't say any exact places because it's being recorded here, but we were privileged to see 27 Muslims give their heart to Jesus. There's many more today coming to the Lord. There are underground churches today that are thriving in all around the world. One day, I believe Afghanis will be an active church that will send missionaries to other parts of the world. We never dreamed that Nepalese, Nepal, people from Nepal would be missionaries, or even Korea, or even Brazil or Mongolia. That was like unreached people groups in the 80s. Jane was on the first team to ever go to Mongolia from Wyoming. And now it's a thriving church, so many believers, and they are sending out missionaries to the Middle East and to India and other places where there's lost people. And one day Afghanistan will send out missionaries. I'm excited for that day. I pray for that day. So I want to talk about revival and reformation, not in the sense of biblical history or church history, because you can go so many directions in this thing, but personal revival. We are called to either be revived, and if we need that, it's available to us. There's never a reason for us to be beaten down, depressed, discouraged. Now, people may have weaknesses in this area, or they are going through abuse that they had to work with, and all these things we get in our head and in our life growing up, all the baggage we get in our life. I mean, I was abused by my father, raped by my father, physically beat up by my stepfather, all kinds of bad stuff there. And God's able to heal and take away those scars and bring healing. My personal revival in Him. Webster's Dictionary says, revival is an improvement in a condition or strength of something. God wants to revive us. He wants to improve who we are, strengthen us. The biblical definition of revival is an awakening in a church or a community of interest in and caring for matters relating to your personal religion. Reformation, according to Webster, means making changes to something with the intention of setting it back on the right path. So sometimes we get lost on the track, don't we? In our own walk, in our own life. I have family who still don't know Jesus. Most of them do now. They're on the wrong track. They're pursuing the wrong thing. You know, they're not set on the right path, which is knowing God and loving Him. So that's kind of the two definitions of revival. So I want to challenge us today. How does this apply to us? Where are you at in your walk with God? Do you need to be revived? If you are revived, do you need to move in reformation? Because you are a world changer. Here in Bureau, right where you live, you can change the nations. And God has called each one of us to be a world changer. Now, chances are, you're not going to go on a mission trip, although I'd be happy to take you for a short one. That'd be awesome. To a safe place like Afghanistan. But you can change the world right where you are. And God has called us to be world changers. God has called us to be personally revived. How do we do that? Let's look at John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go, the counselor will not come to you. So the disciples were hearing from Jesus that he's going to go. What? I thought you came to establish your kingdom and we're going to take over the Romans and rule in this great nation, Israel. And you're talking about going? You know, Jesus knew he had to die on the cross for a reason. Take away the sin. Forever. Amen. But also when he left, Jesus was only one person. So he's like, here's the physical body of Jesus. He's right there. Oh, well, Jesus is not in Tisco right now. He's right here in this church sitting there. Okay, so God had a plan. He knew, how could I reach the whole world at the whole time, unlimited by time and space? Well, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So Jesus went back to be with God the Father, seeing his right hand right now. Sometimes he jumps off the throne and visits people and tells them about how they can be saved. Sometimes Muslims have dreams about the man and wife and get saved. It's amazing what God is doing around the world. Most of the time, people get saved by someone else going to tell me. Yeah, we know that. That's what we're called to do in commission to be. But sometimes there's a supernatural thing. So when Jesus went back, now he's not limited to one space because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, can be everywhere. He hovers over the whole earth, doesn't he? He can be filling you and me and you and this other nation. He can be over there at the same time using the body of Christ. So it was a great thing that he left so that we can have the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit wants to revive us personally and bring that revival to us. And also Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So really, I find in my experience and training and things I've done around the world, I can't do it without God. I get tired or run down or not that I eat Big Macs anymore, but or McDonald's because of my health issues. But sometimes I can just think, oh, the world can go to hell. I just want a Big Mac and a chocolate shake and let's go sit on the beach and watch the sunset, you know? I don't always have the passion God has for the lost, you know. There's days when I feel like that. I don't have a physical body. There's days when I'm run down, when I'm sick, or not going for it with Jesus, you know. There are many days, praise God, when I want to see God's kingdom come through me. Because he's going to use me, the church. He's going to use you, the church. I did say that sometimes he jumps off the throne and visits people and reveals himself to them. Sometimes the Spirit of God moves and supernatural events happen. But most of the time, people hear the gospel through people. People are loved by people. And when you're loved by people, you're open to their message. Yeah. So God calls us to love people, to share the light of Jesus, to go and be on fire for him. And we can only do that when we have the Holy Spirit in us. Yeah. When we get born again and gave our heart to Jesus, he puts that deposit in us. One day I talked about this. You know, we have God the Father, who is the authority and our Heavenly Father. We have Jesus the Son. We have the Holy Spirit. All three God, all three were there in creation and made this beautiful planet and zebras and leopards and fish and all these systems and beautiful things that God made. So amazing in creation. Tonight, if it's not raining, go look at the stars. Billions of them. And he calls them all out by name. I know the name of that star. He calls them out each night. That's pretty amazing. God is pretty mind-blowing. So, he's not limited. And we don't have to be limited either because we can ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us up and empower us. That brings us personal revival. That brings us life. Life to give out to others. You know, if you have a glass of water, because I like coffee. And you drink it and it's empty. It's like, oh no, there's no more. You pour more in, it fills up. And you drink it and it goes. And it's like, oh no, there's no more. Don't drink that. You need to keep filling up that cup, otherwise it will run down. Either you use it up or we leak. Sometimes we leak spiritually. And sometimes we get run down or whatever. We don't see, we're always aware of God's presence in our life. Sometimes he removes his known presence in our life. He doesn't physically leave us. He never leave us or forsake us. But have you ever felt sometimes like, well, God, where are you? You know, I feel so far from you right now. Sometimes he does that as a test. So we see what's made in us, what's in us. How will I respond? Will I sneak away in sin because, oh, God's not watching? Or will I go, I don't feel you right now, but I know you're here. I know you love me. I know you have a plan for my life. Fill me up anyways and continue on in the journey to the world. Walk by the Spirit and not carry out the desires of the flesh. The flesh is contrary to the things of the Spirit, the Word of God says in Galatians. It also mentions about reformation, not just in a sense of changing systems, putting back in the right order. We looked at that definition. Making changes to something with the intention of setting it back to the right path. The right path is knowing God, following him. Will we let our life reflect that? Will we be part of his reformation? You feel the Holy Spirit of God. You're doing good in Jesus. You're reading the Word of God. You're praying and talking to him. You're lifting up the prayers of the saints, and you're praying for your family, and you're praying for the the government, the president, the Marine Corps, those in the military, you're loving God. We continue and took that extra step and bring God's order, God's reformation to the nation. Because, let's face it, the world doesn't know the best way to go. We try so many other things. We try to find false comforts. We try to find, not just me personally or you personally, everybody. We're made that way with this void in our life, which we know only Jesus can fill that void. Amen? I have tried drugs and sex and alcohol and relationships and traveling and all these things, money for a little bit. I thought I ever had a lot because I'm a missionary. I think we stop. But, you know, if you try to fill the void of those things, it won't work. And that's what the world's looking for. You see people who pursue money and careers. And those are all good things. We need money and careers and purposes of God in our life. And like I said, I'm not calling each one of us to go and be a missionary. But how can we change where we are now, our community, this community? I've never walked the streets of this community. I don't know who lives here. Not yet. If I have opportunity in the future, I want to walk this community. I want to know who lives here. I want to influence this community. I want to influence Tisco. I live in Tisco on Main Street. I'm kind of proud of that. I live in, my address is 505 Main Street. How American is that? You know? I'm from California, where every 249638 went 53rd Second Avenue. You know, like, what does that mean? You know, 505. Some other ways we can bring revival. The Reformation is our prayers change nations. Now, we saw people saved in Afghanistan, in India, in China, in Hong Kong, in all these amazing places. We've actually started about 5 churches in our lifetime, and gave them all to others, raised up leaders, and they're going strong. I haven't seen them for a few years now, but last time we were in Asia, we visited some of them. And our prayers change places, atmospheres, people. I, at one point in my life, thought, oh, wow, I'm such a great missionary that I can preach the gospel on the streets. I can do that. And people would say, wow, aren't I great? And God said to me, no. I need a donkey once. Okay, so sometimes I can be MS. And God humbled me and showed me it's not you. Yes, you're a willing vessel to be used. But for hundreds of years, I've had grandmas on the back pew praying for revival in Asia, praying for me to move and bring people, soften hearts, and open people's hearts to God. I've been had people praying for thousands of years for a harvester. I'll end this story to grandmother. We were in India, and we were at this one house and spent the night. We couldn't travel that night. There was a bus ride in India that often happens. And we wanted to pray blessing over this family. They were a Christian family in the south of India. And we kind of felt like, when David was being anointed, you know, Samuel went to the house and all these people, no, God, not that one, no, not that one. There's still something else. And we prayed blessing over all these family members and felt in our spirit, there's still someone else. We need to pray for her. No, this is a family. Oh, well, there is grandma in the basement. Now, she had rid of the basement. And she was 103. We get down there, and they haven't prepared the room. They were embarrassed and here and stuff. And this frail old woman was there in a bed, all curled up, left, right, and everything. And they said, don't worry about grandma, she's nothing. You know, she's dying soon. Don't waste your time. You guys are missionaries, you need to do stuff. And we're like, no, each person is valuable. And we went to her, and she began talking fervently. She began sharing stories how she said, they think I'm just an old woman in my bed, she said in her pee, doing nothing. I'm changing the world. I'm a world changer. I'm praying for revival in this country and that country. I'm praying for God to move and release missionaries. I'm praying. She was like this on fire, radical woman of God, head in the flesh, is this crippled, frail, old woman. I've never seen anyone that old before. And changing nations because of her prayers. Not only was she changing nations, she had a heritage. Ever heard of William Carey? Very great, famous missionary who went to India back in the late 1700s, many years ago. When she was a baby, she was prayed over by William Carey. She's had a passion her whole life. She had a passion, like I cannot believe, even that day. This is in the 90s, so maybe she's with Jesus now, getting her reward. Seeing that nations changed because of her prayers. Seeing that people gave their heart to Jesus because of her prayers. Seeing family touched and saved because of her prayers. So, me thinking of this great missionary wasn't me. Some are called to water, some are called to plant seeds, some are called to reap a harvest, you know. But the point is, we all work together, and we all have a point to personally get revived and personally reform the world around us. Set back on my path towards God, the world around us. So, I want to end with that. Let's pray right now. Bow your heads if you may. Good. And just think about your own walk with the Lord right now. I believe most of you have a relationship with Him. You've known Him for many years, maybe. You realize He died on the cross for you. He set you free from all the bondages that try to drag you away from Him. He wants to meet every need you have. He personally wants to revive you. He personally wants to use you to change the world around you, in your world. We all have a world that's different from one another. We all have family and friends who don't know Jesus yet. We all have neighborhoods and neighbors that don't know Jesus. Sometimes we wish they would because they're bad neighbors. But God wants to use each one of us to influence those neighbors and share the love of Christ with them. So Lord, I just pray right now for this body of believers, this beautiful church. Not this building, which is a beautiful building, but this beautiful body of Christ here, this underground church here of believers here in Bureau in Little Illinois. Most people never heard of Bureau. But it's on your heart. We're on your heart. You're intimate and close to us. I want to pray for a personal revival for each one of us here. We commit this day in your hand. Let's be blessing over each one of us. I speak personal revival over each one of us. And you give us a hunger for your word and a hunger to pray. It's not our own strength. It's not our own abilities. But it is you in us empowering us, Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit. Fill us up. Fill us afresh so that we won't satisfy the deeds of our flesh, but we will live through you in whatever capacity that looks like. Maybe you're calling us to go to another country. You went this age. Maybe you're calling us to go to our neighbor. Maybe you're calling us to be praying for our family, for our kids and grandkids to get saved and to know God. Use us in whatever capacity you see fit for us. We submit ourselves to you and your Lordship, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and fill us now in Jesus' name. We commit this day and this weekend in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.